To Hope Community Church, where it is okay to not be okay. Come as you are. Glad you are here, working out life, trying to follow Jesus, discover Christianity and how things fit together with all those pieces. Would love for you to read scripture with me. This is the book of Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It's the Lord's Prayer, taken from a different version than perhaps you're used to reading. This is the NET Bible. Conservative scholars got together and put a Bible online. And similar to some of the things that you've read, but this is the NET Bible. I want you to know that. How about if you read with me out loud, please? Let's read this together. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors, as we have forgiven those. That sounded different. Let's try that again. Let's start with, give us today our daily bread, so we can read that. This is a great section of scripture. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yeah, I got a different one memorized that I keep falling back to. Some of you have asked me about that. Why are these translations different? Well, different nuances, and they're seeing different things, and so they're trying to give us a good picture of what they're reading. So I think I messed up there a little bit. Sorry about that. Matthew chapter 6 is where I'm taking this prayer and where I will be referring to throughout our time. Daily bread. That's why I've got this emphasized here in yellow in the middle. Give us today our daily bread. So we've looked at our Father in heaven. This is what I'm just going to recap where we've been. Our Father. It's very unique that Christianity refers to God as Father. That's not in a lot of holy books. In fact, I don't know that that's in any other holy book. It's not in the Quran. It's not in other holy books of Hindu and Buddhism. Christianity is unique in this way. We have the privilege of calling God our Father. And our Father meaning that God belongs to you and you belong to Him. And we belong to God together in that way. Our Father in heaven. May your name be honored. Hallowed be your name. You might know that one. One of the prayers that we ask God is that His name be honored, and that begins with us, His name be honored in our life, but also His name to be honored throughout the earth. And we came to understand that this is actually an evangelistic prayer. We're asking God that people who don't know Him, who are far from Him, would come to know Him and give honor to His name, to His goodness, to His greatness. Our Father be in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. God is a king. He has a kingdom. And we are to prioritize our lives around the priority of the kingdom. We are to seek the kingdom. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has a will. And very often we should be praying God's will be done in our lives. And then we come to this one. You can see it changes a direction a little bit. We've been talking to God about God, and now we're talking to God about ourselves. We have this request of God that seems to change abrupt direction, but what I want you to know is even though we started with this lofty description of God that we should be reminded and come before God how great He is, how much He is deserving to be honored because He is the King and He desires His sovereign will to be accomplished, we haven't forgotten that when we turn course and begin to pray about ourselves. God is viewed as lofty even here. He is the giver of daily bread. He's the one who provides. He's the one who sustains. He is the one who cares so much about your day-to-day needs that He actually wants to be involved and be engaged in your lives. And so we are taught to pray this one. He is awesome. He is immense. He is transcendent. And yet, in all of His immensity, it is easy for God to know your secret thoughts and to know that private life that you hide from people and to know those feelings of angst, maybe even feelings of failure and shame. God knows about that, and He wants to be present with you to bring healing and hope and prosperity even, but not the material kind. We'll talk about that. So after beginning with this prayer of talking to God about God, we turn our attention to talking to God about ourselves. And I want you to know, just from the get-go, as we walk our way through this, please keep this in mind. God has the desire and the ability to care for you on a daily basis. This should tell you that your needs are a concern to God. Those things that maybe you think are a little bit trivial or small or whatever, your needs are a concern to God, even the most basic needs, even the very basic and core needs of food and clothing and shelter, those are of a concern to God. Now, some of you are going through a season where financially it's a bit hard, but I would guess that most of you, if not all of you in this room, do not worry about your next meal. I would guess that most of you, if not all of you, do not wonder where the next meal will come from. Where will the funds come to buy lunch? How will we provide dinner for our family? What about next tomorrow? Will there be food for us to give to our kids? Most of you are not in that place. Perhaps you have been, or maybe you feel as if you're there, but it always seems that there's enough food, enough provision for you to make it happen. And then there's some of you, and I would guess maybe even the majority of us, where it's really not a concern, and it's been a long time since we even thought about it. Oh, we give thanks at the meal, because that's just sort of a tradition for Christians to give thanks, and we say, let you know, say grace or ask the blessing or whatever. But maybe it's been a long time since you even entered into a time with God where you were truly grateful for the daily provision of those things that a lot of us just plain take for granted. So if we are in this place where we have some abundance, does this prayer even matter? Give us today our daily bread. Well, what if you have bread in your fridge and your freezer for a month? What if you've got a freezer in the garage and there's meats and there's perishables and there's good things to eat, and really you don't need to think about a couple of months worth of food are already at your disposal? Can we pray this prayer in all honesty and integrity, asking God to give us something that we already have? And so why would Jesus? So it's easy to think in terms of, well, this is one of those areas of Scripture that applies to the ancient world, and we all know time has distanced us from the culture of the ancient world, and we're just not there yet, and some Bible verses don't simply apply. That you might be thinking, well, this speaks to the ancient world, and maybe in some places this speaks to the modern world, but this doesn't speak to my world. I don't need to ask God for daily bread, do I? Well, then why would Jesus give this to us as a model prayer? And we've looked at it. It's not necessarily a prayer to recite on a daily basis, or perhaps every week when you're in church, although that would have some benefit. But if this is a model prayer, and Jesus is the all-wise Son of God, why would he give this to us, give us today our daily bread, knowing that times would change and cultures would flourish, and maybe we might think that we don't need to pray this way? I know a number of individuals, and particularly as this increases, what I'm most sensitive to, and I know a number of pastors who have acquired and they've increased their platform of ministry to such a point that income came in, and gone were the days of asking God for daily bread. So much so that one thing led to another, and one thing led to another, and pride preceded the fall. And I know of pastors who have disqualified themselves from ministry. I would wager a guess that to a man, they long for those days when they were worried about food because they lost their ministries, and in some cases they lost their families. It would be good for us to maintain such a posture of humble dependence upon God that we never get past praying this way, lest we get into a position of being so comfortable and so confident in ourselves that we don't see things coming down the pike that we really ought to see. You can never get past praying this prayer. I'll give you a couple of reasons why. Here we are. Well, here, this shows the division again. I like how this breaks out. Just this gives us an easy look. First part of the prayer, we're talking to God about God. Second part of the prayer, we're talking to God about ourselves. But here we are praying for daily bread. Your most basic needs have a spiritual dimension. I want you to understand that this is not just materialistic. This is not secular as opposed to sacred. This is not some compartment of life that only moderately matters to God. Your most basic needs deeply matter to God. But also this, God can be trusted to provide what you need to accomplish His will. Notice how this prayer breaks out. As soon as we finish this lofty approach to God, we have just asked that He would accomplish His will in the world and in our lives. And then the very first thing that Jesus modeled for us to pray after asking God to accomplish His will is for the supply of daily bread. I think those two are connected. God will give you what you need to accomplish His will, whether that be a little or a lot. God will supply when it comes to what He has called you to do. And your confidence can rest in Him much more than your confidence resting in yourselves. Okay, so here's a challenge that we face in our culture today. We live so much of our lives in compartments that there seems to be a secular and a sacred divide, as if these things here are sacred. You know, you pray and you read the Bible and you go to church and you do some witnessing, maybe tithe, that's our sacred compartment. But then we have our secular compartment, or our things that we just do on our own, and that's work for a living and provide and acquire and accumulate and leisure time and all of that. So when it comes to issues of food and shelter and clothing, you know what? That just doesn't feel very sacred, does it? But then we encounter the Lord's Prayer. And I hope it leaves you wondering, could it be that it's all sacred? That God wants to be present with us through all of that, through all of those endeavors. See, if God is interested in the basic and the routine and the ordinary dimensions of your life, such as eating a meal, is there anything in life that He's not interested in? Perhaps one way we need to view this prayer is this is God's desire for you to invite Him into the ordinary. You might be tempted to think that there are specific segments of your life that are more interesting to God than not, and some of the other stuff doesn't matter. Your Heavenly Father, I want you to know this, your Heavenly Father is interested in everything that transpires in your life because your Heavenly Father is deeply interested in you. So all of that matters to Him. If it's happening in your life, He's interested because He's interested in you. All of that matters. Okay, well, presently, I have found in my life, I'm busier than I want to be. Way, way busier than I want to be. I'd rather be busy than bored, but I'm not going to live as a victim to the busyness, and I'm not going to live as a slave to the busyness. I will endeavor, as I try to bring this prayer into my life, I have endeavored, and it is my goal, and it is my desire, to bring God into the ordinary, to invite God into the ordinary, because I need Him to be present with me. Even though He already is, I ask Him to be present with me in the ordinary, because I need that communion with Him. And I'm at a loss if I don't ask for that. Let's just step back for a moment look at the big picture. There are rhythms in life. There are things that we do routinely and some things we do in life almost without even thinking about them. God's desire is for you to not leave Him out of the ordinary pieces of life, because the ordinary pieces of life are the much larger pieces of life. It's only once in a while that we have a spectacular or an extreme or a high or a low, but more often than not, it's just ordinary time, ordinary things. And God wants you to invite Him in to what you deem to be ordinary, because it's not ordinary to Him, because it involves you, and He deeply loves you. We settle that at the very beginning. We approach God as our Father. We have this privilege and this right that is given to us. John 1:12, it is a right that we get to call God our Father. And so we're to understand that all of our life matters to him, even those dark moments at 3 a.m. when we think we're totally safe to think anything we want, that matters to God. And he deeply desires to help us wrestle through worry in the middle of the night. Most of your life will be lived in ordinary moments. And I have found that I need to be thankful for the gift of food, the gift of sleep, the gift of work, the gift of family, the gift of hard times, the gift of good times, the gift of growing old. I need to be thankful for all of that. And praying the prayer of daily bread helps me to get there. What I'm pushing you toward is something that's much deeper than giving thanks for food at a meal. Start there if you will, but boy, you go deeper, please. The rhythm of going with God, learning, leaning on God and being dependent upon God starts best, not with the big things of life, but with the basic things of life. In fact, your ordinary moments will prepare you to thrive in the extreme moments. It's learning to lean on God during those ordinary moments that you know God is there when it's hard and when it hurts. This has been God's desire for his people for a very long time. I want you to take your Bibles, please, and go to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. Easy to find because it's the second book of the Bible. Book of Exodus, chapter 16, and where we find, where we catch up with the people of Israel is they've just miraculously been delivered out of Egypt, and now they're in the desert, and they're really realizing, holy moly, there's not a lot of food or water in the desert. What are we going to do? How will anybody provide for us? And by the way, Moses, we could have eaten good meals back in Egypt. Why did you take us out here anyway? So we're going to find them. We're going to catch up with them in that way. So Exodus chapter 16, verses 1. Let's read down to verse 5. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin. So it looks like sin, and it's nothing to do with sinful actions. It's just spelled the same way. The desert of Sin, sometimes even pronounced Sheen, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out here into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." So ordinary stuff. Walk outside, get some bread, walk back. "On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and this is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." And we'll find out in a moment. The reason is that precedes the Sabbath. So daily bread, they're to trust God each and every day. Bread would be there. Only gather for the one day. Never gather for 5 days in a row. That kind of a thing. So here we are, don't gather a surplus is what I'm saying. So let's jump down to verse 15. So God has rained down bread from heaven, and now the people of Israel walk out and they find it. And that takes us with verse 15. "When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other," what is it? The Hebrew word for what is it is manna. And that's where the word comes from, that they just named it, what is it? Pretty clever. So, sounds like stuff that I try to make when I try to cook. Anyway, so we are. "For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent.' The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. And when they measured by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, 'No one is to keep any of this until morning.'" No, so that's pretty clear. Okay, go out every day and find bread and then bring it back and do whatever you want. You can bake it, you can boil it, or eat it right then, but just enough for one day. Don't keep more than that. You would think that would be simple enough for them to understand, but here we go. Look at verse 20. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. And so Moses was angry with them. So the one exception was to go out on the sixth day, the day before the Sabbath, and get 2 days' worth of manna. And they were to trust God that that manna would survive the night and be okay for the next day, because they weren't going to gather any food, any bread, on the Sabbath. So that brings us to verse 21. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers, for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest. No work, no accumulation. A day of rest. A holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." So again, you would think this is so clear, and they're learning now by experience. I think we ought to do what God says, because when we get 2 days extra and it's not prior to the Sabbath, this stuff wakes up smelly and stinky and maggot. But let's read on, verse 27. "Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather bread, but they found none. And then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out.' And so the people rested on the seventh day." Again, this speaks to the rhythm that God wants us to develop. Out of our rest comes our work. Out of our rest comes our work, where we accumulate and we have supply. But the rest comes first. The time with God comes first. The relationship with God comes first. Here's what we do in our fast-paced, busy, high-tech culture. Work, 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 work. Weekend. Work, 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 weekend, work, 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 vacation, and then we do it all over again. And what God is establishing for us is saying, you know, trust me with the supply, trust me. Slow down, Christian, trust God. Out of your relationship with God comes the rest of your life. Out of the rhythm of slowing down and taking some time to delight in God, out of that comes your life. You've heard me say before, I've got some guys that I meet with on, and sometimes it's on Saturday mornings. We were in here yesterday morning. We shared life from a deep part of our hearts. We prayed together, and we did some study, and we set up chairs. One of the things that we did in the course of the past year was we looked at Sabbath. To a man, they said, "This is hard. This aspect of finding the off switch and slowing down and taking time, intentional time, to delight in God, this is hard." Yeah, it is hard. But you know why you struggle to trust God on a daily basis? Because you don't rest in God. Sabbath equals trust plus rest, and the rest of the time is work. But if you subtract trust and rest out of your lifestyle, you'll have a hard time trusting God in the ordinary, which means you will have a hard time trusting God in the extreme. You need this rhythm of trusting God for His supply. You see, out of your relationship with God comes your desire to relate to people in a godly way. Out of your love for God will come a desire to love people with the love of God. out of your priority of God comes first, comes your arrangement of life with kingdom priorities. Out of your dependence upon God comes your independence from having to have a lot of stuff. Out of your depth with God comes your depth with people. Out of your trust in God comes your peace in life. One of your very real needs is to pray this prayer with sincerity and devotion to God. Give me today my daily bread. Give to me what I need today. And tomorrow I'm going to ask you for the same thing. Give me today what I need. One of the things I know I pray this so often, probably my family is tired of hearing me say with repetition, God, thank you for the gift of today. Do you know it's not automatic that you woke up today? Psalm chapter 3, verse 5 says, you laid down and you woke up because the Lord sustains you. It was his choice that you live today. Today is a gift. How will you use the gift? When you look at the provision of manna in the Old Testament and the provision of bread in the New Testament, I think you can see this. Your ability to rest in God is directly tied to your willingness to trust God for his provision. You will never get past this prayer. This is the prayer of the rich person. It's also the prayer of the poor person. You will never get past this because this prayer calls you to a dependence upon God, and we also desperately need to be humble and dependent upon our God. One of the reasons I think you may find yourself being a bit dismissive of the idea of praying for daily bread is not because you have plenty, it's because you've forgotten the Sabbath. And you wrestle with slowing down and spending time with God and allowing him to enter into the presence of the ordinary aspects of your life. This is hard. Because we're not naturally tuned and wired this way. To pray, give me today my daily bread, is to remind yourself of your dependence upon God for the most basic needs of your life. And the way Martin Luther read this is he saw it as food and a bit more than food. Whatever you need to accomplish the will of God. That's the way he read it. And we saw how this was laid out in the prayer. The will of God, and then immediately we're praying, give me today my daily bread. Whatever food, shelter, housing, clothing, whatever you need to accomplish the will of God, this is your daily bread prayer. Now, if you're not careful in reading this correctly, as I flip back to Matthew 6, if you're not careful in reading Lord's Prayer correctly, you might think in terms of, well, I got the preliminaries down, I talked to God about God, and now I can talk to God about anything I want. And what Jesus wants you to talk about God to God first about your life is your need to be dependent upon him. Don't distance yourself from God because you think you have enough, or maybe it feels like you have enough in your life. Please don't distance yourself from God because of that. You need to trust that God will supply, and when you give it away, that he will resupply. God's desire for you is to spend year after year in Christianity growing more dependent upon him. I am an old guy. I don't need Jesus less than I did when I was younger. I need him more. You don't need God less in your life as you age. You need more. Praying the prayer of daily bread will help you to get there. Well, Jesus also said something about prayer that was just fascinating because he likened himself to bread, and I'm going to use this to lead into our time of communion together. So I'm turning in my Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. Fascinating that 18 daily Jewish prayers, right in the middle of that, there was one where they asked God on a regular basis, a daily basis they were supposed to, ask God to bless the harvest and to give them provision. So here we have Jesus, and he's going to play into the sentiment of the ancient world with the word bread, which is a staple. It's just absolutely essential. They got to have it to survive. And Jesus knows this, and he just as the daily bread is a gift, Jesus presents himself as a gift from God. So let's pick up with verse 28. You might have a chapter title somewhere in there that says Jesus is the bread of life. Probably it sits above verse 25 if you have chapter titles. Verse 28, a great question is asked of Jesus. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Boy, that's clear. Wouldn't you like to know? Wow, what do I got to do to get in heaven? What do I got to do to please God? What do I need to do the works God requires? Great question. Let's see how Jesus, the Son of God, answers. Verse 29, Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." The work is to believe. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent, meaning himself. So verse 30, Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Now, I should also add, you notice that you might, again, have chapter titles or paragraph titles. Right above chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus feeds the 5,000. So all this talk about bread, this is right after Jesus has basically taken the two loaves and he's expanded that. A whole multitude of people are fed, and they're really excited. Wow, bread! We get this bread. We were hungry. Now we're full. Maybe Jesus can do this all the time. And so he starts talking about, wait a minute, there's something deeper here. Bread has been given to you, and it's come down from heaven. Watch what he says now. Let's see, where did I leave off? So they asked him, verse 30. So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus, did I already read that? Somehow I read verse 32 before. Okay, sorry about that. Senior moment. Okay, so verse 34. "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." And then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." So Jesus makes it very clear that he did not come into the world just simply to give bread. Here, let me give you some things and it'll last for a while. Jesus did not come to give bread. He came to be bread. The bread that would be broken and lead to eternal life and give you the eternal things that you need. Jesus came for that. And the illustration that he uses, going from lesser to greater, Jesus uses bread, basic bread, staple of life that everybody needs to survive. And then he speaks of himself as the bread that has come down from heaven. We have a tendency, you may have noticed this, to fill our lives with bread, with things that don't last. Why do we do that? We have a tendency to chase and acquire and accumulate, and there's always the next one, or a better one, or a bigger one. But I want you to hear this morning. Jesus has come as the bread of life, the bread that has come down from heaven. No one else makes that claim. Jesus is all that you need. But so often we don't really feel that or understand that until Jesus is all that we have. Are you willing to trust God this morning that he will give you what you need to accomplish his will? A very beginning way of expressing that trust in God is to ask Him to supply what you need, daily bread, to accomplish His will. Let's look to God in prayer. Dear God, we thank You for the fellowship at the table. It reminds us of the meal, the body, the bread that was broken. It reminds us of Jesus coming down to be our bread, to sustain us, to feed us, to give to us eternal life. Thank You, dear God, for what You achieved through Jesus Christ. We see Him as more than prophet, more than example, more than good teacher. We understand Him to be the sacrifice for sins that we need to be right with You. And so we come this morning just simply as young children praying, give us today our daily bread. We desperately need things like fellowship with You, fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the leadership of God. Oh, we need so much. We are needy people. And yet so often we don't mean to, but we stay far from You. We've come this morning to enjoy the fellowship and to celebrate and to be renewed so that this might carry us into the week. We want to journey with Jesus. God, it is our desire to invite You into the ordinary things that we do. We're expressing all of that this morning as we fellowship around the table. Thank You for the gift of life that is present in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My friends, if it's your desire this morning to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, you just pray simply with me, and you don't have to pray out loud, just pray your agreement with my words on your behalf. Dear God, this morning I recognize that I need Jesus Christ. You've given Him as a gift that I can receive, and I want Him this morning to come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. And then, God, I want to walk with You the rest of my days, looking to You to provide what I need, trusting You that You will lead me into Your will. Thank You for the great affirmation that I belong to You as a child of God. In Jesus' name, I bring this prayer. Amen.